for WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Charlottesville City Council denies a white nationalist group's request to rally next weekend at Emancipation Park downtown, moving it to another park farther away. Protesters and supporters show up at a public hearing for the Atlantic Coast Pipeline in Harrisonburg, and we've got to look at the history of the Stanton Music Festival. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, August 8th.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from Blue Ridge Community College. When you earn a two-year associate degree, transferring to a four-year college is possible through their guaranteed transfer agreement programs. More information at brcc.edu.
Citing safety concerns, Charlottesville officials announced yesterday they are allowing an upcoming rally of white nationalists only if organizers agree to a different location. From Charlottesville City Council, Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports.
According to a Facebook description of the event, the Unite the Right rally, organized by local blogger Jason Kessler, is meant to defend white Southerners' rights. It's expected to draw hundreds, potentially thousands, plus counter-protesters. The permit for the event was requested for Lee Park, recently renamed Emancipation Park. A group of downtown business owners had asked city leaders to move it, citing safety concerns. Charlottesville Mayor Mike Signer, along with other city officials, agreed.
Given the sheer numbers predicted, the city manager is right to conclude that this event is incompatible with the dense and urban location of Emancipation Park, which is right next to our downtown mall. However, at McIntyre Park, the voices of all can be heard in a way that's consistent with our duty to the public.
Emancipation Park is about 1 acre. McIntyre Park, a short drive from downtown, is more than 100 acres. Shortly after the decision was announced, Kessler responded via Facebook Live, saying he'll sue the city and McIntyre Park has nothing to do with his cause.
What has to do with the Robert E. Lee Monument is Lee Park and the Lee statue, so that's where we're going to be.
Earlier this summer, a North Carolina chapter of the KKK also held a rally in Charlottesville. City residents are, once again, facing the decision of how best to respond. In Charlottesville, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Also, Virginia environmental officials are hearing from residents this week about steps the state is taking to protect water quality along the routes of two proposed natural gas pipelines. The Department of Environmental Quality is considering whether to issue what's called a 401 certification under the Clean Water Act for the Mountain Valley and Atlantic Coast pipelines. The certifications will put conditions on pipeline-related activities that may indirectly affect state water along the routes. And the first such public hearing in our area for the Atlantic Coast pipeline was held Monday evening on the James Madison University campus in Harrisonburg, where more than 500 people showed up to either protest the pipeline or express support for it. WMRA's Christopher Clymer Kurtz mingled through the crowd before the hearings inside, and he collected this audio montage.
My name is Flint Engelman. I'm from Charlottesville, Virginia. I'm a senior field director with Americans for Prosperity. The Atlantic Coast Pipeline will be a great asset to Virginia. It'll do so much. It'll help us with jobs. It'll also help reduce energy costs for Virginians and Virginia's families. So it'll help put some more back.
Jennifer Alves. I've come from Loudoun County, Leesburg, because I'm an environmentalist. I truly believe we should be living with respect and responsibility for the living planet. And here is the time for us to finally make the difference that all of mankind should have been making all along.
Bill Limpert, and this is my wife, Lynn Limpert. We'd have 3,000 feet of the damn thing coming right through the center of our property. It would lower our property values by $250,000. We'd be in the blast zone of the pipeline. This is a dangerous and unnecessary and unwanted intrusion on our private property rights and our freedom as Americans. And I'm really mad about it.
My name is Tim Brenneman. I'm here local. I'm from Harrisonburg. More jobs are available through energy conservation as well as alternative energies in the solar and the wind sector. This pipeline is a waste.
Our ancestors and future generations.
Our ancestors and future generations.
And my brothers and and sisters of all species.
And my brothers and sisters of all species.
Peace to all.
Peace to all.
A general discussion, a philosophical
discussion.
We're being
friends across the aisle.
Yeah, we're bridging the divide. I should tell you that I'm the organizer of the Northern Virginia Tea Party, and I've been such since 2009.
That explains some of your political thoughts. I get that.
Based on John Locke. Thank you very much.
Okay. And what was
I'm
your name?
I'm a Lockean conservative.
I understand that. I do. Sandy Green, Mount Sydney. Okay. So go back to conservation easements. What is it that you as a citizen are buying by the...
Ron Wilcox. We don't have enough natural gas in Virginia. In the winters, when the temperature drops, the existing pipeline cannot generate enough energy to power all of the energy generation plants, and we have to switch to more expensive energy generating sources of fuel. And this will be helpful in creating a revival of jobs in Virginia, especially after the last 8 years of anti-energy policies.
Kay Ferguson, I'm from Charlottesville. Governor McAuliffe will be defined by this decision. He will either be the Democratic governor who sold half of his geographic constituency to fossil fuel, or he will be the Democratic governor who at the very last minute realized that this was a bad deal for Virginia and had the courage to stand up and say, you know what, we're going to take a little more time. I'm going to direct my Department of Environmental Quality to do its job carefully and slowly as it should do. We're not using a blanket permit, and we're going to slow this whole thing down. Pipeline's not about jobs. It's not about needed energy. It's not about keeping the lights on. It's about one thing. It's about profit.
Those voices collected by WMRA's Christopher Clymer Kurtz. Virginia's lead agency for promoting public safety has announced statewide training for law enforcement officers in dealing with people with disabilities. The Department of Criminal Justice Services says it has contracted with Niagara University in New York to teach specific skills law enforcement officers may need when they encounter individuals with disabilities during routine interactions, such as traffic stops and also emergency situations. Governor Terry McAuliffe said in a statement that the training will result in, quote, law enforcement officers who are responsive and better empowered to serve everyone within their jurisdictions. The training program is in partnership with the Virginia Board for People with Disabilities and the Department for Behavioral Health and Developmental Services. Finally, in the mood for some classical, the Stanton Music Festival, where musicians from around the world descend on the town for 10 days in a rethink of classical music, is back for the middle of August. WMRA's Jesse Nadler spoke to its founders about why this festival has become a can't-miss event for music lovers from all over.
Karsten Schmidt's Stanton home has three harpsichords, three cellos, two forte pianos, and one Steinway. Here he is on the harpsichord. Schmidt is the founder and artistic director of the Stanton Music Festival, which hits 20 years old this month. The festival's longevity is still a bit of a shock to this German native because it started out as nothing more than a fun weekend for him and a few classical music-loving friends back in the late 90s.
There was really no budget. I think the budget was maybe $500 and most of it went towards beer.
My, how times have changed. The festival now draws 75 professional musicians from all over the country, all over the world, for 30 performances. A mix of traditional, think Beethoven, Brahms, and avant-garde over the course of the week. Some performances draw 500 to 600 people. And a reason the festival has grown so large, according to Schmidt, is that there is a level of spontaneity, of risk, that musicians don't really get to tap into at other venues. Musicians are brought in as individual performers, not as preformed ensembles. This can create visible suspense on stage.
The idea that you have four people play that piece, that maybe have known each other for a while but have never played this piece together, and they have 4 hours to put it together, you're going to get an experience. And most of the time, a really good one here, and sometimes an intense one for them. But it's really fun that way.
Executive Director Jason Stell points out another interesting feature.
An audience member might call and say, tell me who's performing this year, as if there's going to be a few household names that they might recognize from the classical or the musical world at large. And that just isn't what we do. We're not bringing in celebrities. We're bringing in the best performers who also work well with each other in a very tight, dynamic environment. And we pair them up in all sorts of interesting ways.
Schmidt makes a point of recontextualizing familiar works.
You sometimes have a piece that everybody knows very well. I'm thinking maybe Mozart's Eine kleine Nachtmusik or Vivaldi's Four Seasons. And then I think about what is a new context in which we can place this piece with pieces around it maybe that nobody knows, to just shine a new light on these. So everybody thinks they know this. And all of a sudden, after you've heard something very different, that piece might sound like you've never heard it before. And that's always great when that happens.
Two to three performances are held each day in various locations downtown. Blackfriars Playhouse, Trinity Episcopal Church, late night performances at a bookshop and a wine store. Noon performances are free, and evening concerts run 2 hours and cost around $22 to $30 per ticket.
I have to make a huge compliment to the audiences, which is unbelievable, the kind of things we've thrown at them. We would have been run out of town in many other places, I have to say. And I do, you know, I do play in a lot of places, and many would not tolerate what happens here. And here, in fact, people seem to be coming for what's happening here.
Get ready, Stanton. The festival runs from August 11th through the 20th. For WMRA News, I'm Jesse Nadler.
And you'll find much more information about the Stanton Music Festival through the links that we've put up at our website, WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy your Tuesday.